All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, Usual Suspects, President Accounted For. No one has yet to make any threats or start any fights here in the building.
Picking on my man Patrick Creighton.
Yeah, that's a low blow.
We got to tell the people what we're talking about.
I know, I was trying to get into it, but go ahead.
Well, basically, some clown got into it with Seth at 6'10".
Some clown,
Radio
I like the way you worded that.
Yeah.
Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
Don't be calling out my boy Pete Creighton. don't do that.
I mean, here's the thing. So
was it the big guy that called him out, or was it somebody else?
Landry.
Who's that? Is that on
what side? He's on 6'10".
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. I thought it was the other podcast that Josh has ripped on him
for and everything like that. But if you don't know, and by now in Houston, everybody's talking about it. It's actually gotten picked up by some websites too. The two morning shows, not John and Lance, decided to get into it in a heated verbal dispute on Radio Row, with all the stations watching, and it was on the air on both stations.
And I'm going to tell you what, this was Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor. It wasn't close. This was a lopsided.
Oh, that was a closer fight than this one would have.
This was not even close.
You mean like in terms of like the verbal debate, right?
Yes.
But if it would have gotten physical, it wouldn't have been close.
Oh, it would not. It would not happen.
Seth Payton is an ex-NFL guy. He takes care of himself.
I'm just saying that the argument wasn't even close. It was a unanimous decision in favor of Seth. It was not even close.
Seth was spot on.
I'm sure the dude that was arguing with him probably doesn't believe that in his mind.
Oh, no, of course not. But you don't, you know, those kind of guys that get delusional about who they are, what they are, and they tend to believe their hype.
If you're wondering or you need to try and figure it out, the bottom line is that we're not going into any more specifics on one end of this whole thing because that's exactly what they want. They've been brought up to believe that shock jock radio and Howard Stern stunts are the way to get noticed and ratings and everything else.
I just don't like them bringing in my boy Pete Creighton into all of it.
I missed that audio because I felt like the video stopped at the wrong time. You can find it. I think I retweeted it. It's all over the internet right now. But what I really missed was the Creighton comment. But what I hated was it stopped right after, I believe it was Landry, said, "You're a little bitch."
And then he was like, who the F are you?
Yeah,
and then that's
the
when
air,
it ended.
He drops the F-bomb, who the F are you? And I was like, let me see that roll out because I'm putting my money on Charlie Pulillo to take him out, let alone anybody else over here.
Charlie Pulillo is very athletic. How dare
That's
you?
What mobile. I'm saying, man.
He's elusive. He's
you mobile. And I joked about before the whole we started getting back into the workout thing and everything like that. From time to time, we take pictures. We joked about the moob.
Yes.
The man boob thing.
Yes.
We ain't got nothing on him.
Yeah.
That's Kate Upton ask.
Wow. Okay.
You're about a square torso.
He does have a square torso, that is for sure. Yeah, I just don't like, I felt bad really for a guy like Seth, but I think Seth had probably just had enough. I don't know. But I imagine that you can try to take the high road, and Seth was kind of in a no-win situation there. You know, you let a dude keep talking trash, or do you handle it, and I thought he did the best he could because he kept his cool as best he could.
Considering the headset was on, and you know, he has to be thinking
so many inappropriate things. They would have just had to cut the mic and go to commercial because there's no way that I couldn't have. Like, the reason I think Seth handled it so well is he really didn't name call a lot. He just spoke facts. He was like, you know, you talk a lot of mess, but then when you're face to face, you don't back it up. You think your shock jock radio is what people want, this, that, and the other. And I would have just been like, name calling, just like a child. So
I would
props
say
to
this.
Seth for
the headset
handling
being
it like
on,
an adult.
The headset being on was like a vice for his brain to keep him on the beaten path. Because when he said, and I'll give you the exact example, when he said, "You're just not a very good person,"
yep,
I'm pretty sure if the headsets weren't on, That would be the
you're a piece of bleep.
Yeah. It would have been a cuss laden take this. And if it hurts a lot and you feel like I got kicked in the nuts, then I'm doing my job.
Well, I guess you're down to one station and
I was talking to Joel about that comment. He was probably referring to us.
No question about it.
Joel's adamant that that's what he was referring
to,
but he didn't want to mention it
because what?
When he's only got one station left in Houston, he could actually go to at any time. Seth said that to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought like, that's what you were referring
one?
To.
He's like, which one? And then Seth was like, it doesn't matter. You're on Gulf Coast Radio now doing some other podcast and everything like that. But he's been at 790. He's at 790 now. He's been at 610, and they hate him.
So what if he does come here? Because let's face it, we've become the landing spot for all of the big names.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to suggest that this guy is necessarily a big name. There's a difference between being famous and infamous, mm-hmm. and I think he's more of the latter. Mm-hmm. But how would you guys react knowing, I know you have no love lost for him.
I get along with him, but only because he, off the air, that other side of him is what I normally get. I get the tail between the legs texting and everything like that. And I also go right at him if he ever he's called me out a few times. And I've gone right at him.
Since we've been doing the show, he called you out?
Oh, yeah. Rockets fans were actually calling me to tell me. And then when I called him out on it, he was like, oh, no, I love what you do. I just didn't like the rhyming. And I'm like, well, did you ever say that to my face, bro? Because if you're saying it on the air, I got a real problem with you.
Joe went to say it to my face.
I did. Well, I used to do that to Nick Wright. I told Nick Wright, if my name ever comes out of your mouth again and we've never met, then I got a real problem with you. And he was like, we should have lunch sometime. I go, that's not going to happen. Especially after we get off on the wrong foot.
I don't want to beat your ass over a salad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll treat him just like any other on-air host. I mean, I don't treat anybody differently. So I don't, you know, if he came, he came. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
The biggest thing is he's an attention whore.
Yeah, that's the thing is you don't, there's, I like the way that we do things here. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. I think that we are different than what you get on the AM dial, and there's nothing wrong with what they do on the AM dial. I think what we do is a mix of sports and entertainment, hence ESPN, Entertainment Sports Network. And we blend the two very well. They're a little more sportsy on that side of the dial, and that's great. But what I wouldn't want to see is this turn into a clown show. Because, you know, we've got the Lance Zierlein of the world. We've got the Charlie Palolos. We've got the Barry Warners. I mean, Granato. The guys that have been and will continue to be very well respected in this city and in the media in this city. And you don't want it to turn into a clown show over here. We're trying to do something good.
They're proven in what they do, too. And there's a reason they all came over here, too. Because, you know what? At a certain point, they like...
Because we're awesome. They all wanted to work with me is what
like,
it is.
They like the platform where you don't have to be beat over the back of the head because you're the flagship of a team or two.
Yeah.
In either case, being the flagship of a team, as we talked about with the stuff with Tom Brady the other day, when you're the flagship...
Can't be calling the kids piss ants.
I said the biggest thing that I loved about when I first came over here was the cuffs are off. And I no longer have Big Brother looking over my shoulder with
say
the ruler ready to snap my
it's
wrist.
It's a beautiful thing.
And it is. It's fantastic.
You can be critical.
I thought you said you like being handcuffed, Joel.
No.
That's in a different arena.
Yeah.
That's in a different way.
No, I'm with you, though, man. I really appreciate the fact that in this culture we can say what we want. Like, I would hate if every little thing I said about Ryan Anderson, the Rockets, is like, you know what
can't
I mean?
Can't say that. Don't say that.
Dude, I've
Ryan Anderson's amazing. Which... we're going to have to talk about this game. I know we will today.
Yeah.
I got some real problems with the calls last night.
Oh,
and I'm not talking about the referees.
Was terrible,
no,
though.
I'm not talking about the referees.
Oh, I know what
I'm
you're
talking
going.
About the telecast. Holy bleep, it was bad.
And your boy Clyde wasn't there.
And it wasn't Clyde and it wasn't Bull. And I love him to death, but Bill Worrell's getting bad.
Okay. Well, I guess you guys can figure it out. We got a lot to talk about today. Quarterbacks changing places in major trades happening before the official start of the next season even gets near us. And we haven't even hit on Super Bowl, which is coming up on Sunday. Tons of stuff to get to. And, of course, we always like it to be centered around you. So if you want to be one of the usual suspects that joins in on the show, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line, where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Also want to remind you, it is a Wayback Wednesday. So that's exactly what you're hearing in the background. Trey helped us pick the topic today, which is songs that were sampled for better songs. or for samples for songs that were current. Yeah. So you're first, Nick?
Every Breath You Take.
We know this song, Nick.
Oh, yes, I am first. Well, I figured you knew I was first because this is not your song.
I didn't ask you to name the title and artist, Casey Kasem. I just asked you if you were going first.
Yes. So I'm going to go last since basically mine is a history lesson of hip-hop. Like, I'm educating the people. I saw y'all's list, and it's cute, but this will be an education in hip-hop.
Professor Penis will be third doing his top to bottom.
That's how I gotta go into my live read.
This is how we have fun. This is how we have fun as well as sport.
That's how you're gonna send me into my live read.
P squared will hit it up on the 3 o'clock hour. Other than that, stay tuned for Way Back Wednesday, the entire show. It should be enjoyable.
Well, take it from the professor. You got to eat healthy. And
yes.
No better way to do that than with HealthyGourmet.com. Here's why I like HealthyGourmet.com. Because the food's ready to eat. It's pre-made, pre-packaged, and it tastes good. There's no meal prep. There's no cooking. There's no going to the store. It's so cool you can even order online and have it delivered to the house. Why would you diet any other way? Go to HealthyGourmet.com and get started today. The meals are made from scratch. You can customize them online, too. So let's say you're doing the paleo diet and you want to get all your meals for lunch and dinner that conform to the paleo diet. You can do that. You want to just do low carb, gluten-free, vegan. They have all those options for you. You can customize your meals from the meats that you put in there to the starches and the carbs. Everything customizable, all delivered to your door, ready to pop in the microwave, warm up, and eat healthy and start losing weight. No prep, no cooking, no driving. I like it because, too, like the food is filling. And I've done diets in the past where you get these meals and they don't fill you up and you got to eat two of them. And now you've kind of gone over what you probably should have done. Not with HealthyGourmet.com. Healthy Gourmet Your Way fills you up. I'll get a banana with my lunch and I'm done. I don't have to eat two meals to get full. Log on today. Get started. No commitments. No minimum orders. And if you use ESPN975 as a promo code, you'll get 10% off. And order $99 or more, and it's free shipping. Log on and get started. Get healthy. Lose weight today. It's HealthyGourmet.com.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're rolling along. It's The Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday. There is no way in hell, Nick, that you just picked this out of the blue.
I did. I didn't know who it was, but I did know that it was sampled, and I did know...
Is it the Guess Who?
Yes.
Wow. Look at me.
Could you?
It's a good pull. Now, I was afraid, because Barry, PP over here, is going to go nuts on this, so I was actually going to put for each song where it was sampled, and I was like, that's too much work.
Okay.
So I passed.
Well, do your thing.
I tried to help Nick, too. I gave him my list, plus I gave him a couple extras. You gave him one that ticked me off because it was one that's one of my favorite songs that I was going to use. But, you know.
I what?
You well, gave the one... the one you flipped him. I love both songs, and I was definitely going to use it. And then you got your list in first, and your first song is another one of my and I'm like, well, I'm just ticked off.
Yeah, well, I was up. I was watching the game. I did open mic last night at the Houston Improv, went home, figured for sure both of you guys would have done your list by then. I was like, well, I'm going to be, you know, getting the bottom of the barrel. And then I look, and I was like, oh. And then I don't think you guys would have had many of the songs I had anyways because they're very obscure. No. And you would have to really have been into producing music and stuff like that
get... Roger Troutman and Zap.
Well, that's a no-brainer. That's a more... Like, a lot of the stuff, like Amen Brother and stuff like that, very obscure. People would not know about.
But you could take Roger Troutman and Zap, start to finish, like a greatest hits collection, and
EPMD
most people
wore it out.
Sample.
EPMD wore it out. X-Clan. Yeah, a lot of people in hip-hop sampled Zap and Roger.
Heavy D.
Sure.
Everybody was into it.
Yep.
So, yeah, all right. So Way Back Wednesday, and we're using songs that were sampled for other songs pre-2000. So Nick is first, Barry's last. I guess that means I'm in the middle. And that's what we got going for musical tunes throughout the show.
Okay, so we got the whole
spat this morning. The WWE
out of the way. But one thing I did want to bring... Did you go look at the Blood Moon this morning? Did you guys... You know, why are you looking at me crazy, Nick? You didn't know there was a blood moon? It was
a combo.
Super, what was it?
It's a blood moon and
a blue, super blue, blue
yes.
ball moon. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Super.
Were people like posting on Twitter about it?
Super bad blue blood moon. I don't know what it's called. Yeah, it's just supposedly since it's the first time since like 1870 that the moon has been a blue moon. It's not a blue waffle moon.
It's bloody blue waffle.
It's not a blue waffle moon. It's the super blood. No, super blue. I don't know. Look it up. Google it.
You got a computer right in front of you.
But anyways, three things.
Thank you.
And it was a lunar eclipse. So what? There was the blood moon, the blue moon, and a lunar eclipse all happening at the same time. And my wife woke me up, and because I'm all into like the space stuff, like I have a telescope, and yeah, I mean, I mainly just use it to spy on my neighbors. But every once in a while, I'll look at the moon. But yeah, it was I get into that kind of stuff. So she woke me up, and we drove out to.
You couldn't just look at it from the farm?
No, because by the time she woke me up, it was so low in the sky that you had to get because we have trees all around us. So you can't. You had to get out and get somewhere on a road.
So
where
you
there
hop
no
on
trees.
One of the horses and you just.
Yeah, so we rode out past the back 40.
I forgot the windbreaker goes all the way around.
The windbreaker, not breaker. That's what you wear a windbreaker.
Zipper. Yeah.
No, so it was. I mean, it was cool. It's one of those things, though. It's kind of like. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
I have not.
No, my parents try to get me to go with them. I'm like, I'm not
going
to go. Well,
let me explain what going to Niagara Falls
sounds
is like.
So boring.
You pull up, you're like, yeah, yeah, Niagara Falls. And then you walk up to the edge, you go, cool. And then that's it.
That's
you're
exactly
like,
what I thought Niagara Falls all right. was.
Is that also the Grand Canyon?
Now, we got 7 hours and 58 minutes
exactly.
left to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that the Grand
Canyon too?
A whole
bunch of anticipation
no,
for nothing.
No, because the Grand Canyon, you could ride a burrow down and all that. This was similar. We drove, and I'm it's 5 o'clock, and I'm in my jammies, and I got my coffee. And we pull around the corner, and she's like, well, there it is. And I was like, look at that. All right. Take me home. I'm ready to go back to bed now. That's it. I mean, it was cool for me because I'm into astronomy. I'm not like
you
didn't I'm.
A, seem, were you all? What about the like when the eclipse? Were you all into that or
no?
You didn't care.
I get more into just space. Like the sun doesn't do the moon, the
don't
stars,
care.
The stuff like that is much more interesting to me than just an eclipse. That
it just sounds like the eclipse because it just sounds like a whole bunch of anticipation for very little.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I don't know why I didn't get into the eclipse. You would think because I'm into everything else, but I don't know. Just I don't know. Not
Lisa
my thing.
Lisa was
so you didn't see it at all.
Sending pictures of it because she was up at the crack of ass.
Right.
So she was sending pictures of it. I was like, that's all I need to see. I'm good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you're not into that thing, then it wasn't eventful for sure.
No, and Tay-Tay Mama was having one of those nights where she was up like 3 or 4 times, and I'm like, okay, at that point, I just need sleep.
No, Clayton, it wasn't a Super Bowl moon. It was a super blue bloody moon. Something. I don't even know if that's right.
I don't know. I don't
need
know.
To Google it.
But you're going
to
keep giving it a
I
shot.
I need to. I know.
You can just Google it.
And then also, I had to bring this up because I found it to be hilarious that the people in my neighborhood are so upset because we've changed our trash service. And we didn't get regulation trash cans. And these people are losing their mind. One lady was like, I went out and measured. And this is not 95 gallons. It's 93. It's like, what?
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, you're really measuring your trash can? Like, you're measuring the trash can.
Yeah, I think we had that issue in my parents' neighborhood for a while. And then they forced... the same exact trash can on everybody.
But, like, people were arguing over converting.
That's so stupid, though.
People were like, well, if it's this tall by this wide by this deep and you multiply it by this and a factor of this is how many gallons it is. And then they started arguing the math. And I was like, what are you people doing? What is going on here? I don't understand.
Life is way too short.
Now, what's weird is when I had my townhouse in Midtown, their recyclables was one of those, like, mail... like one of those little mini plastic containers.
Wasn't
that
very big.
That the male people take,
yeah.
You know, a little rectangle.
Yeah, 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 we had one of those in our
when
old
I
house.
I got out to Sugar Land, man. They gave you a big-ass
it's a
garbage
can. Yeah, we have two. We had, because we were with waste management, and so we had one big.
Yeah, one for waste and one
and
for.
And one for recycling. Yeah. And then we switched to this company called Texas Pride, and there was all this confusion, and it's just not as fancy, but apparently it's cheaper. And I'm like, whatever, just, it's trash. I don't care. And there are... 100 Facebook threads everyone bitching about trash. I'm just like, you guys really, y'all have got to get a hobby.
Biggest thing in Midtown something. Was have someone a baby. Was going I don't around know. Stealing those little ones because they were stealing the recyclables and trying to cash in on them.
Nice.
So they were driving around, and so they were missing, and then they were going to start charging, kind of like what you're saying. So then the Facebook page started, like, I'm not paying for that. They stole it to cash in our recyclables. I want some of and the people
chained
start,
it to the mailbox.
I want, some of, I want a piece of what they're for my Coke bottles. Just shut the hell up.
That's awesome. Seriously? That's awesome. So did y'all watch the game last night?
Yeah.
I guess we need to break that down at some point.
Yeah, I was there, so yeah, I definitely watched it. But
by
we can
the
talk
way,
about it
worldwide,
next.
You said what you were doing, and you thought Nick was going to be home by then and doing his list. Mm-hmm. Nick's worldwide. Because when I see the SportsCenter highlights on Harden in the locker room after the game, I see Nick ready to drop a forearm hammer on Jonathan Fagan's head, holding his camera.
I think I
right
aggravate people by doing
be.
That, by the way.
It was
I've
awesome.
Hit, I know I've hit the camera guy for, who's the guy that works with Berman? Channel 26.
I know uh-huh. you're talking about.
Dude, he can easily get upset, that guy.
Really?
And I've like hit him in the head once. One time I put my camera in front of his camera, and he like take his mic and he like push my camera out of the way.
With just the
yeah.
mic.
Yeah, I've
was
hit
it
Fagan
your
before.
Camera or your
you know
phone?
What? You know, here's what well, you do next time. Get iPhone. Right behind him, okay? You get right behind him and just press your junk up on him. hold it normal. Put the camera over his shoulder, but just start pressing your junk up on
last
him.
Last thing on my mind, sir.
Just everything.
A
just
lot of times
mash
it's unintentional.
Just
I'm not trying to be.
No, but just mash it on him and see. I bet he changes. He'd rather you just put the arm out
and
next
then
time.
And Barry wonders why he wasn't credentialed.
Good point.
I never press my junk on anyone,
Did
sir.
Did you press your junk on that one guy that you were making fun of last year?
The guy with the red sweater.
What was the guy's name?
That's
Joel?
Why I didn't get credentialed. The Which old one? Man.
The guy he was making fun of
the,
last
the
year.
The old man were, that was like, yeah, he was really into the Larry.
Super nice guy, by the way.
Larry, yeah, I know you're talking about. Larry.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Steve. No,
I
Steve.
Got in trouble for poking fun at him, and now I'm not credentialed.
He had a hilarious face, though.
Yeah, he did. He was, yeah. you know when you see a little kid concentrating and they stick their tongue out and they go cross-eyed? He was looking at his camera like that, interviewing Steph Curry. And I zoomed in on that and posted that instead of the actual interview with Steph Curry. And then Jenny at the Rockets was like, don't be making fun of my people. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm a comedian, so it's going to happen. Steve, at some point, I'll probably make fun of you too. So.
Yeah, Steve. Steve Barkas.
Yeah. Super nice guy.
Yeah,
but
he's
he had
a great guy.
Yeah, he had a hilarious face. But yeah, I mean.
It's on my YouTube still, I think. Or my Facebook at least.
Well, let's get the credentials rolling for Barry.
Ain't happening.
He needs them. All right, we're going to just keep going the way we're going, and we'll have some fun along the way. If you want to join us, please do. If you want to join in, 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line, where you can call, you can text, you can tweet, and oh, it's going to be one of those days because he's already on the
oh
board.
Oh, my God.
And let the fun begin. OU Mike. Mike, by the way, don't get little nut syndrome on us now. I'm going to preview the fact that you're coming up next. Don't hang up and run this time. Okay, stay right where you are. We're coming back. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, but get a lot of tweets about this, so let me just get out of the way. Very sad news out of the NBA. Just announced a few hours ago, but longtime NBA player Rasul Butler and his wife were driving in Studio City, California this morning at about 2:35 a.m. and his car struck parking meters in a wall and then rolled. And unfortunately, both he and his wife passed away in the accident. So definitely rest in peace. And a lot of outcrying from all the NBA people that have known him. And by the way, he played with Chris Paul in New Orleans and L.A. And I believe that Luke Mbah-a-Mute played with him as well. So very well thought of young man, gone too soon. Shout out to his family. Prayers to Rasul Butler. So there you have that.
The text line is already a mess.
Love it.
Yeah, and not only that, but the call line has OU Mike waiting on it. But I wanted to get a couple of these texts out of the way. First of all, it was an overwhelming response when we talked about that guy from that station who likes attention.
Right.
even hypothetically coming here, so many people were like, no, I'm an all day listener. I'll stop listening. I can't do it. That was that. Heath and Galveston, because you know we're playing our sample songs. He says the Clash is Straight to Hell. He says I love playing that Clash song in a bar full of 20-year-olds because that was that MIA song, Paper Planes.
Yeah, I was going
to
use it,
and they freak out to watch their face when they realize that someone else actually made that song. That's how a lot of the young cats are. In fact, on my list, my last song is a song that Drake sampled that everyone's like, oh, he didn't just come up with that beat. And you'll see, and no one knows that this is a song that existed unless you were really into this music at this time. So I'm an all-day listener. If that dude gets a job at 975, it was Sergeant of Baytown. See, it's like, I'll have more free time. Barry, I'm a huge fan. I was wondering, what gave you confidence to do an open mic for the first time? Would you recommend Houston Improv? Dude, it's just, it's not about confidence. It's about if you want it. It's like anything, right? Joel, you went into radio. Yeah. What gave you confidence to sit down and sit in front of a mic? You wanted to do it.
Yeah, you want to do it, but also, you know, kind of it's your passion, right?
Yes, because
because the fact I grew up, and like I said, my dad used to turn a tennis racket upside down and say, here, basically it was a babysitter. Entertain yourself and call the game while I have some fun with my buddies watching the game, drinking some beer.
But you would also talk about, you know, weren't you the type of dude that would turn the broadcast down, try to call the game yourself?
Yep.
That's the kind of passion you have. You can't just be a comedian, Barry, and just want the attention that comes along with being funny. And I think that's what you're... Not you, but a lot of people are, they want to become a comedian, but they really don't have the passion. They just like the positivity that comes along with being a
comedian.
Everyone
loves the attention. No one wants to put in the work. Like there's comedians now that are bitching about the fact that they do an open mic for five people at 9 o'clock at the Houston Improv. And it's like, dude, I used to go up at 1:45 when the only person in the room was John Wessling, who ran the open mic. Everyone else had left. No crowd. It's literally me on stage with John Wessling sitting in a booth just finished so I can go home. And I'm doing my set.
Getting reps.
And it's about reps. It's about if you really want it. If you just like attention, don't do it, because you're just wasting that time for somebody that's really passionate about making it a career. I mean, if you want to try it, but... It's about want to. And my advice is, if you really are passionate about it and you really want to do it, go to open mics for about 6 weeks and just watch. Watch how comedians that are good comedians deliver their jokes, pick up on cues on how they write their jokes. It's just like anything else. Like, if you want to be a good basketball player, you're going to watch film of other good basketball players. So go watch other comics locally and take notes.
I tell everybody all the time that has asked me over the years, and especially when I was also hiring broadcasters, how do I get where I want to get to? Well, go to high school games and don't be embarrassed. Put a headset on.
Yep.
Tape record your broadcast. Get better. Get your reps. As you feel more confident, start doing college games. Quicker pace, faster action. And the thing is, to your point, there's a lot of people in this market, in this business, that are doing exactly what you're talking about with comedians too. They just want to flip the mic on. They don't want to do the work. They don't realize that what we do for 3 hours is the byproduct of us spending hours at home and then meeting for over an hour here to put together the show and the topics to make sure that you guys are entertained. It's not going to happen just with a blink of an eye and a flip of a switch.
Yeah, that's why I like using you two as an example, because you always talk about how you turn it down. Like, when I got into the industry, I wanted to get into the industry, and people were like, why don't you try play-by-play? Why don't you try commentary? Well, for starters, I would suck at it, but I knew I never had passion for it. I never turned down the broadcast and try to call a game. So that told me immediately I'm never going to do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's what you're facing with some of these potential stand-up comedians or aspiring comedians, right, is that they want that attention that comes along with
most people. Andy Huggins said it best. No one ever quit comedy because they were funny. It's always another reason. Well, the crowd didn't get me. My jokes were too, or they're just lazy. They didn't put in the work. I mean, it's you have to really want it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can't do it if you don't. By all means, feel free. But don't expect to become famous. I've been doing this 5 years and no one knows who I am.
It's funny we're talking about this, because I was actually talking to Craig Ackerman about that yesterday.
Really?
Because I ran into him about 2 hours before the game and we were getting coffee.
Someone said hi.
I did not, but I will next time. Yep. He usually asks about you. So he does.
That's a fact. When I was there last year, he would ask about you.
Yep. But I was like, so this is usually when you come in 2 hours before the game so you can prepare. He's like, dude, when I come into this building, I'm prepped.
Yep.
That's passion. That's dedication.
You
that's
want passion?
That's
Craig
consistency.
Ackerman was my intern that I hired 2 weeks after I got hired here, and he stuck with every bit of anything and everything that we could give him until he started getting reps doing Comets games.
Yeah.
And arena open mic almost.
It's like you got to do the work.
And lo and behold, guess who my tandem doing Comets games was that now it paid off? Matt Bullard did the color. Craig Ackerman did the play-by-play. Yeah. Now they're doing Rockets games. If you stick with it and you're passionate about it, good things will happen to you. You just, like Barry said, you got to be patient.
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing, and I don't know what it is from a comedy perspective, but the other thing, and this is no knock on Charlie because this was well before Charlie got... Syracuse University is broadcast you. Bob Costas, Mike Tirico. Mike Tirico was Charlie's roommate at Syracuse. Everybody, if you've gone, Marv Albert, you go to Syracuse, everybody thinks you're anointed. So there's a lot of Syracuse broadcasters in this market that think, I went to Syracuse, so the whole red carpet should be rolled out and everything should come to me. Nope. Doesn't matter where you went. You still got to pay your dues, bust your ass, and stick with it, or it's not going to work out for you.
Yeah, I mean, to this day, like last night, 5-minute open mic. You get 5 minutes. I go up. I'm doing some jokes that I know work, doing some new jokes. But just like anything else, I record my set. I listen to it on the way home. I figure out what I did wrong. I figure out what I did. It's not just, oh, I'm funny. My friends think I'm funny. And you go on stage. You got to, I mean, I'll write a joke 15 different times before I'm happy to take it on stage. And then when it doesn't work, you got to fix it. So it's a lot of work. You got to be passionate about it is the takeaway.
And who's passionate?
Be passionate about it. Yes, I know.
Yeah, he's waiting for you.
He is.
And he didn't hang up. And I want to know, by the way, before we bring him in, he better at some point address the elephant in the room that he can joke about, but we previewed him and promoted him the last time he called in, and he hung up during the break. That's chicken bleep. We don't do that around here, OU Mike. Mike, go ahead.
Sometimes when those guys got to go real bad, we finally get there, and if there's a lot of other guys in the room with us and stuff, we just can't go, you know what I mean? It's just like, man, it's...
Makes sense to me.
That's what we call it.
Well, yeah. Mike, we run commercials on this station. If you're having trouble peeing or peeing too frequently, I mean, and those seem to be the same issues, you can sign up.
Well, I don't know if it's just that or if you feel like other guys are looking at your junk or whatever.
Stage fright. Yeah, we just talked about it.
When Joe gives me a big lead in an introduction like that, you know, Tommy makes me feel like he's looking at my junk.
Well, we can't look at your face because we don't know what you look like.
What I want to get to is the sampling of these songs and like remixes and stuff. And with the phenomenon that's going on here the last night, I'm wondering if anybody will do a remix of the Bonnie Tyler song, Super Blue Blood Moon, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
And that's it. And he's out.
How long was he on hold?
At least 20 minutes.
He waited 20 minutes to make a Bonnie Tyler reference.
And he won't sit through the reaction. It's just you hear the boop, boop, and he's out.
He waited 20 minutes to make a Bonnie Tyler reference, and I have never respected someone more than I do right now with OU Mike.
That's passion, baby.
That is how.
That's passion and dedication. You know what?
That's 1:45 in the morning doing your jokes to another comic who doesn't give a crap about your jokes. That's passion.
That's calling George Ranch and Cy Falls on a 7 o'clock Friday night tip-off.
OU Mike wants to be the best caller that he can be, and I'm proud of him. And even though it was just a, you know, it was an okay reference.
It wasn't dirty.
Yeah, he got through without cursing and getting banned from the station.
Right.
So anytime he makes it through a call without having to get dumped, it's a win. I mean, it's just a win. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to give him that one.
All right, a couple more. Supermoon. It was low in the sky, so it looked larger than normal. Blue moon, second full moon in a month. And the blood moon, which is a partial eclipse, causes the moon to look red. So it was a super blue blood moon last night. So whoever texted that, thank you. You're way smarter than me.
Thank you, because we didn't have to hear you kick it around any longer trying to get it somewhat in the ballpark.
Okay, I got to read this one because this makes me feel good. Nate, I appreciate you, buddy. He said, never called or texted y'all before, but I want to say y'all have hands down the best show on ESPN radio. One more thing. Barry is funny. Suck it, Joel. Suck it. I told you. Nate's the smartest guy we have on this show listening. By far.
You know, when you really get there... You appreciate who you work with. Like the joy that you just heard in my voice when Craig and I. Yeah, I don't have that here, and that's for obvious reasons. But someone's got to be the straight man while the other one is the ass clown. So the ass clown's funny. We figured that out, and we're all good with
it. Hold on, we got one more before we go. It's a PSA. It's a PSA to the truckers at the Flying J. Someone is drawing penises on the back of dirty trailers.
Get that junk out of here.
That's just that's what we got. We're just now we're just relaying messages to truckers on the road. Don't go to the Flying J. They're drawing penises on the back of trailers, guys.
They know.
Careful.
We have the outreach that they need to get the message across.
I won't stand for these vandals defacing my truck with penises.
You know what that is, Barry?
What?
Junk. Just straight junk.
All right. That's why
we'll
you don't
back.
Get the taste.
More dad jokes in a minute. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's The Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday. Nick and hour number one. It's songs that were sampled for other songs later in their lifespan as a song, so to speak, as the songs that we selected were pre-2000 cuts that were used later in more current tracks for you young millennials.
Whippersnappers.
Yeah.
Probably the least proud of this track, not because I don't like it, but I've used it twice. But other than this track,
here's the thing.
I did amazing and didn't Google any of
it. It was almost like, for us, we almost have like a Hall of Fame of Way Back Wednesday. Like, yeah. We should make it a prerequisite. Like, certain songs are going to make it every week.
That should
week,
be a theme.
Because this one's one
Hall
of them.
Of Fame.
Ice Ice Baby is one of them. It's like, and again, we could use it because of the sampling, and I might have. But there's, you know.
Totally.
There's like three or four songs. A Tops Drop, Fat Pat. We got a couple that seem to make
lattice.
An appearance all the time.
Yeah. We do.
Not your regular bump music, Nick. We're just talking about on Way Back Wednesdays.
25 Ladders was a Way Back Wednesday song.
That's true.
If you say so.
He's correct. A lot of people want to know how much I paid that texter. That was my Kevin Durant.
Yep. Your burner account.
Yeah. I Duranted myself. I'm blowing up our own text line saying how awesome I am. That's what I do.
I'm telling you guys, the more I see pictures, though, from Radio Row, the more it is a crammed in cluster to be on Radio Row this year.
I'm kind of bitter though. Full disclosure.
I'm looking at, you know, you said it was in a food court, I thought, well, maybe it's, but I'm. Somebody sent me a link. Tyler Scott sent me the link to where then they call out our boy P. Crate.
Yeah.
And in the background is this beef jerky place.
Yep.
That's just crazy to me.
And
that
the
this
thing
ends
is,
up being
while
Radio
this little
Row.
Beef was going on, WEEI in Boston was literally a foot and a half with their setup from where Houston was. Now, if you guys just refresh your memories a little bit, when Stephen A. was what? Probably 100 yards from us last year?
Yeah,
we could hear him. Could you imagine if his show was anywhere near us trying to do a show and that blowhorn was just flying out all across the
worst combination would be like Stephen A., like the Spanish radio station and Patrick Crate all together, side by side by side.
Crate's another one.
That would be a disaster. At Radio Row.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine that?
It would be
that?
So loud. Could you imagine Stephen A. Smith,
would have to be
the Spanish radio stations, and Patrick Creighton all together?
Nick, you're wild.
The roof would literally catch fire.
It would have
fire.
To be another right. Radio Row. It would have to be like a loud Radio Row loud edition. They would just.
Man, I love the Spanish radio broadcasters, but when I went to the boxing Radio Row, man.
Wow, whew, huh?
Enthused people, let me tell you.
Really?
Very.
Oh, no question about it.
Energized. I don't know. The Spanish Rockets station, Adrian, are they like that?
No, Adrian's not like that. Adrian, the Spanish radio play-by-play guy, I hired him too as an intern, and he passionately stuck with it. He's not very loud. Craig is. So when Craig was doing radio and would be next to TV on the road, oh, you want to talk about something that got under the skin of Bill Worrell.
Really?
Yeah, because the bleed-in, because Craig is loud when he calls the game. He is Patrick Creighton-esque. When he's calling the game.
I've heard him before.
Yeah,
when they bleed in,
if they put him too close to TV, and they used to come to me, and I'm like, it's not our media table. At home, I can take care of it. On the road, it's the visiting team saying, you're here and you're there. And literally, some nights, you'd be watching Worrell but hearing Craig.
Okay, so speaking of.
Yeah, let's get this first before we get into the straight Rocket stuff.
Last night, I'm watching the game, and I'm just minding my own business, working on some stuff, got the game on. And Ryan Anderson, what did he shoot last night? 2 of 6?
He was on fire.
Something like that.
I mean, it wasn't.
Shot 20 million worth of good, baby.
20 million worth of good?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to call it? Let me right pull now. Up the box score right now. Ryan Anderson went 2 of 3 from three-point range. He played 33 minutes, scored 10 points. Upon making his second three, Bill Worrell proudly exclaims, "Ryan Anderson is money in the bank." I'm like, Bill, you're just saying words now. You're just making this up.
You do realize he can't see them, too.
But I don't care. Ryan Anderson is not money in the bank.
There's one guy he can differentiate from pretty much everybody else in the Rockets lineup.
Yeah, well.
I'm just saying.
That probably came in handy when Yao was here, too. But that could not be further from the truth, the way that he's playing this year. He's not money in the bank. So don't. And then the Ryan Anderson travel that was not called. I don't know if, did you see
late
that?
Late in the game, the step to the left.
Oh my God, Euro awful. Steps behind the 3-point line, not towards the basket, just sideways Euro steps, chunks up a prayer and gets fouled.
Yeah, he caught a break there for and, sure.
You think?
For sure.
And Bill Worrell goes, "I don't know, he didn't establish a pivot foot."
Yeah, I heard that.
He ran. He took 9 steps, Bill. He took 9 steps. Stop it. And by the way, stop calling it a Swedish step, too. That's
And you know, ironically, the play the right before that is exactly why the NBA, just like we talk about with the NFL with the catch rule, the NBA needs to do some serious work, because the play before that wasn't even close to it was in the act of shooting. And even the Homer-esque Rockets announcers had to go, "Ooh, he was in the act of shooting there. That should have been 2 shots."
Yeah, they called it the James Harden rule, and they complained about it. But
yeah, and then,
but it's just homerish to say that he didn't travel. Everyone could see that, and now you lose your credibility when you try to make up an excuse for it.
Yeah.
Or you try to get us to buy into how much we should.
Everyone could see it all the way from
Galveston.
Because
you know what I thought about? You know what I thought about when he said Ryan Anderson has money in the bank? I thought about you and how you tell us that they would get on you if you said anything negative about any of their players. And so in my mind, what I'm thinking is, okay, the Rockets know that people are hating on Ryan Anderson. That on this station and other stations, that they're probably all dogging Ryan Anderson and how bad he's playing. And so I'm sure the Rockets are like, "Hey, Bill, you really got to pump up Ryan Anderson. It's making us look bad because we paid him so much."
Because that's the one guy you can go up to.
Exactly.
And he would be like, "Absolutely, I do it all the time."
And when he's like, "Ryan Anderson is money in the bank."
You don't think you can go up to and say, "Hey, say some nice things about Ryan." You don't even have to ask him.
Oh, yeah, no. But at the same time, we're at a stage in the career where you're not going to get too much talking to Bill Worrell.
But then my favorite was at the end when James Harden shoots the 3 and gets fouled. Yep. And breaks the record, and he screams, "James Harden is the new scoring one-game champion for the Houston Rockets."
I guess I wasn't paying attention
to that. What? I had to rewind. I was like, "What? He's the what?" Yeah, he's the new scoring one-game champion. And I was so offended, because as a champion.
Oh, my God.
I know what it's like to be a champion. And
he won a camel race, and he's talking like, could you imagine if he gets the blue check by his Twitter handle, what he's going to say? Dude, it's going to be a disaster.
You shut your mouth.
You're exactly right.
You don't talk to a champion like that.
Blue waffles and a blue check.
You don't talk to a champion like that, Nick. But I thought, what? Bill, I know it was spur of the moment. But
why wasn't Clyde there?
You had to. He got the night off, they said. But you had to know that this was coming, because he was at 57 or whatever. 56?
Some of us knew it was coming before others.
Because it was a 3-point play plus the free throw, which it put him at 60.
Bill would say 3 the hard way.
Yeah, but it put him at 60. And it was James Harden is the new scoring one-game champion for the Houston Rockets. I was like, he's just saying words.
And I felt bad for him, too. If you want to take it a step further. So then they go to commercial break. And when they come back, obviously the guy that he surpassed for the single game scoring record was in the building, in Calvin Murphy, who's all over Murph, when you know every camera in the arena and outside the arena for the television broadcast for both sides are filming Murph, who is up in his grill giving him the extra long hug and handshake.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Aw. He just needed some attention.
I love that we're talking about this, because I'm getting called out more and more now that I'm going to these Rockets games on Twitter.
Doing
and a lot
play.
Of them are calling me out based on what they hear on the broadcast. Depend on it. Depend on Bill Worrell and Clyde Drexler when I make, because they'll call me out on this.
That didn't happen.
Oh, I would say the most recent example is the one I told Joel about. I said there was a technical foul called on Chris Paul, and someone heard the broadcast and heard Bill Worrell say PJ Tucker. They immediately call me out, depending on Bill Worrell.
You don't want to do that.
No, and you're going to make a big mistake if you do that.
And here's the thing. So they moved radio up well before they moved TV up to the top of the first level, right? So the first thing that I did, and I actually, I was on the broadcasting board of directors for the NBA. So there's five of us, and we're trying to make things better. And I said, if you're going to move everybody up, you got to give us a line, which was awesome, to what the referees were talking about as they were watching the reviews. Because you got to know what they were looking at, and we can't hear them. Like, if you just took your headsets off at the table, you could hear the refs say, okay, it's a flagrant one, and mm-hmm. it's in this and that. So we had a line into their headset, and we could hear them talking to New York. And they always said, okay, don't verbatim what was said on the air. I mean, what was said on the headset, but you can now tell them this is why they made the decision they made. We loved it. TV won't use it.
Mm.
They don't want to use it. And again, it's a hassle for them because they'd have to take their headset off and put another headset on. And they don't want to do it.
Wow.
And in the meantime, they're so far away, and it is so, you know.
But they're just making assumptions on what it was.
So, yeah, I mean, I've said this time and time again. Gene Peterson really had a problem seeing, and Foley used to correct him. On television, for some reason, no one's correcting Bill. And it's basically a shot in the dark half the time when he's calling a three in the corner, especially because he's the close corner in front of the visitor's bench. He can't see unless he stands up. So he's going, that was Luka Bamute for three. No, it really wasn't. It was P.J. Tucker, but no one's correcting him. So it's basically a crapshoot. Which, hey, if you're the Rockets, all you're worried about is you're selling those tickets down on courtside, and half the time they're unsold.
And the last point I wanted to make.
Yes, please.
Was they totally let James Harden get that last rebound for the triple-double.
I didn't think so.
Tucker even pointed to him when the ball was in the air.
It
go
was
back
on
and
his
watch
side
it.
Of the. It,
he pointed to
I
him.
Didn't see it. I didn't catch
up.
It, so I can't speak.
Everybody backed up. They pointed to James.
He was
grabbed
stuck
the rebound,
at seven rebounds
double.
For a while. Like
triple
he got to seven
I know
rebounds.
That officiating crew was
go back
awful,
and watch it.
But I saw the rebound again this morning. At least he was on the right side of the basket, and it came towards him, as opposed to it like being really, really, really blatant, like some of the Westbrook ones last year. But
they
I mean,
totally backed off. They did. Which I'm fine with. It's just one rebound. It's not like five or six. But that one, it was obvious. He even pointed to him like, you get that.
I think we finished strong.
What was this sampled?
All For One sampled the song.
No, they covered it. They didn't sample
they covered
it. They covered it.
It's indeed correct.
You obviously don't know the difference.
Whatever. Who cares? Same thing.
Nick's cover like, sample. Shut your mouth. My,
didn't Siri my tell you over. There's a difference?
I love that Nick has the controls and he's just like, beat it, kid. Oh, that's good stuff. Also good stuff, Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen. That is also good stuff. And we're going to be there tomorrow. I'm going to head over there and grab some lunch. I'm hoping Joel and Nick can make it as well. But we're going to be out there. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen. I got to get out there and get me my fix. And if you haven't been out there, what are you waiting for? You need to get out there and try this food. It is really, really good. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, it means you have a choice. Now, if you don't want to get the best buttered chicken in Houston, which they serve at Cowboys and Indians, then you can get chicken fried steak, or you can get wings or sliders or chicken curry, a Himalayan heat burger, one of the best burgers in Houston. Quesadilla is made with naan bread. Doesn't matter. It's all delicious. And I had a listener reach out to me and say, hey, man, what should we get? We're going out there for our birthday. And I made them a list. I was like, well, if you're feeling like, you know, Indian food, then try these things. And if you're feeling just Southern foods, try these things. He was like, dude, we got it all. It was all amazing. And I'm not making this up. These are tweets. Go to my timeline. Go find it out. These are actual people going to Cowboys and Indians and enjoying the food. That's why I want you to go, because I know you'll enjoy it too. 1901 Taft in Midtown. You can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. They have a special right now. It's the ESPN 97.5 special. It's a half-pound burger with fries for $8.99. Get out there. Get you a drink at the full-service bar. Tell Haas and Imran I said hello. Whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.